Okay, everyone. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January 9th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn, and this week we study Parshat Bo. We are going to look at chapter 12, Pasuk Aleph and Bet. And I see Sandra Morgan's on. Hi, Sandra. Okay, so this is a pasuk that introduces the mitzvah.
Do you have a page?
It's on the sheet. You don't need the chumash.
Oh, you don't need the chumash?
It's on the sheet.
Oh, here's
chapter 12, pasuk aleph and bet. The pasukim here introduce the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of establishing and celebrating the new month. We're not going to focus on that mitzvah per se. We're going to focus on the way that the pasuk is arranged and the language of the pasuk. We'll focus on two things specifically. hi, Levi. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor." God said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, rishonhu lachem lechadshei hashanah. This month shall mark for you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first of the months of the year for you. So, that may already raise a question in your mind.
How come Tishrei is the first month?
Right, as normally we think of Tishrei as the first of the months. Right, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of Tishrei, is the first of Tishrei. And so what is going on here when this pasuk says, HaChodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodeshim, that this is the first month? So just to give you a technical answer, and Chana and I were talking about this just a moment ago, there are really four different Rosh Hashanahs that we have in the Jewish calendar. And this is expressed in the first Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah Aleph, Perek Aleph, that says as follows, Arba'a Rashei Shanim Heim. There are four New Year's days. January 1st is not one of them. That's a different one. Arba'a Rashei Shanim Heim. There are four New Year's days. Bechad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah La Milachim. The first of Nisan V'la Rigalim. That's ours. The first of Nisan is the translation is, on the first of Nisan is the new year for reckoning the reigns of Jewish kings and for establishing the order of the holidays. So what does that mean? If a king ascended to the throne on any day of the year, we say that his first year ended on the last day of Adar following his accession, and that his second year is counted from the following day, the first day of Nisan. So, is there an explanation as to why this is the, his third year, I'll continue reading the commentary, his third year begins on the first day of the next Nisan, so if a king is crowned on the 29th of Adar, the next day, which is the first of Nisan, is reckoned as the beginning of his second year. There has to be a beginning, and so they chose Nisan, although it is a rabbinic decree. The rule is derived, and this is the answer to your question, Shula. The rule is derived from a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Kings 1, which juxtaposes the years of Shlomo's reign with the number of years since the Exodus from Egypt, and that which was in Nisan. So there, since those are juxtaposed, and it could have to do actually with freedom, right? The existence of a Jewish king represents that the Jews are independent and free, which is expressed by Yitziat Mitzrayim and Chodesh Nisan, so there could be that thematic connection as well. The halachic application of this is, besides counting the years of kings, is that shtarot, legal documents, were dated back in the day based on the reign of so-and-so, right? In the fifth year of the reign of King so-and-so, I borrowed $100 from Chana, and I have to pay it back to her in 30 days or whatever it is, right? So based on you had to know what year they were in, and that was based on Nisan. Okay, and it's also the first day for the establishing of the order of holidays. Pesach, which is the holiday that falls in the month of Nisan, is to be considered the first holiday of the year, etc., etc. And there are some halachic implications as to why is it important that Pesach is the first holiday of the year. Why does it make a difference? There are some halachic applications, but we're not going to get into them now. That's the first Rosh Chodesh, okay, for kings and regalim and the chagim. Bechad be'elul, Rosh Hashanah le'maser behema. The first of Elul is the new year for the tithe of animals, right? So here the Torah teaches us that a farmer has to set aside every tenth animal from among the flocks of sheep and goat, sheeps and goats, or herds of cattle born during the year, and it becomes kodesh, right? It becomes sanctified. So as the animals pass one by one through the opening, the owner marked every tenth and declared that one maser. We have this image, right, on Rosh Hashanah, kivakarat roe edro mavir tsono tachat shivto, that just as the farmer counts off every sheep, God is looking at each one of us also on Rosh Hashanah, and this is Rosh Hashanah of Chodesh Elul. Elul is for, we do it in Tishrei, and that's the opinion, I'm sorry, of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shimon says it's Tishrei, and that's the halacha, right? Our Rosh Hashanah is on Tishrei. We didn't get to Ilanot yet. We'll get there. Okay, so this is Chodesh Elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maser Behema, or Chodesh Tishrei, as we say. Bechad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim V'Lashmitin V'Layovlot L'Nitia V'Layirakot. Other agricultural counting, and this depends on permissibility of eating and things like that, are also counted from the beginning of Tishrei, and also the years are counted, right, from the beginning of Tishrei. And finally, Bechad B'Shvat, the other opinion, the one that we follow, is the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. This also has to do with the permissibility of using the fruits of the trees, and we count them based on Shvat. Okay, so.
Before that, you also mentioned something about agriculture.
Yeah, those are not for the fruit of the trees. This is for Shemitah and Yovel, counting the sabbatical year and the jubilee year. That is from Tishrei. Okay, so now we know, technically speaking, all these four Rosh Hashanah, and so we can understand that this pasuk that says "Achodesh Elachem Rosh Chodeshim," it's not the only one, right? This pasuk that says this is the first of the months. It's the first of the months. It's how we count the months. If you're counting the king, or if you're counting the order of the chagim, it's not the first of the months. If you're counting what year you're in, etc. But that's just a technical way of understanding the pasuk. I want to look at some, you know, other ways of looking at this pasuk, because there's some interesting and very, inspirational ideas that we can glean from them. So the first is from the Midrash. So here, the Midrash here is focusing on the word lachem. It's a little bit. It's a little odd usage. Hachodesh zeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This is for you the beginning of the months. What does that mean for you? Right when the Torah gives us mitzvot, there are a lot of times it does say lachem, but it doesn't always say lachem. It doesn't always say this is a mitzvah for you. Kashrut is for you. Lulav and etrog is right. It doesn't always say lachem for you, right? What does the word lachem?
Lachem ve'lo li, ani lo tzarich et zeh. Atem tzarichim et zeh.
Okay, maybe it means okay. Good. Okay. The Midrash has a different approach, but so you're sort of on the right track. So hachodesh lachem. Why specifically here are we told that the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is for you? So let's look at the Midrash. This is the big print underneath source one. Right above source two, I'm not sure what the numbering got a little messed up. Hachodesh zalachem, Rabbi Levi patach v'item li kedoshim. Rabbi Levi quoted another pasuk: "You should be sanctified for me." Va'avdil etchem min ha'amim, and I will separate you from the nations. B'chol ma'aseihem Yisrael mishunim min umot ha'olam. In all of their activities, The Jewish people are different from the nations of the world. B'charishatan, uvizriatan, uvikatsiratan. This has to do with the laws. I don't think it means that a Jew has to plow their field differently than the way a non-Jew plows their field, right? It's the rules of plowing, the rules of seeding, the rules of cutting, and all the agricultural rules that we just talked to. B'minyanan u'b'cheshbonan, how we count the months, which I just showed you in the Mishnah. She'umo ta'olam monin lichama. Now here's the key I want to focus on. She'umota olam, that's the end of, now we're at source 2, the end of the first line of source 2. It's the continuation of the same midrash, but I had to cut it up into two sources. She'umota olam, those words, the shin aleph vav he, stands for umota olam, that the nations of the world, monin lichama, v'yisrael l'levana, the nations of the world count their calendar based on the sun, and the Jewish people do it based on the moon, which is not 100% accurate. It's a little bit of a combination, but it's mostly based on the lunar cycle. Shneimar haChodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodeshim, quoting our pasuk that this is the first mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which is based on seeing the moon. So we base our Rosh Chodesh on the moon. So what does that mean? Right? What's the ramification of why do we care? Or what's the lesson in the fact that the Jewish people count based on the moon and not the sun?
Because we have an arrow, so it's at night versus... But
that's, I think, that's the other way around. No, we do that because we count from the moon. But why do we count from the moon?
Okay. Right.
Why yeah. We count from the
reflection. What is the moon?
Right.
And also, it very much was common even to consider where Abraham came from. He came from Ur and Chaldea. And actually, in Ur, main goddess was the goddess of moon. It means that you can follow tradition that came even from.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Also, by the way, just the fact that we have our holiday start the night before, that's based on a pasuk, right? That's based on Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, that first come the night, the day follows the night, not the, but that wouldn't change even if we had a calendar that was based on the sun. We would just still start the night before, right? So, okay.
Came
so,
another idea to my mind.
Yeah.
We say the yareach levana. Levana comes from the shorosh levan. So maybe Am Israel, Lavan, Pure. I don't
know. Okay, could be. All right, good. Very nice symbolic answers.
It's easier to tell what part of the moon it is for the for on the cycle than it is for the sun. That's how it gets started.
Okay, let's see. Okay, could be. All right, let's see the bottom source on page 1. It's a little small. Sorry about that. There's a wonderful large set of books called Torah Shlema, which is a collection of Midrashim on the Torah. It was collected and commented on by Rabbi Menachem Mendel Kasher, who I show you here, lived from 1895 to 1983. And this section on the bottom is comments that he wrote and collected on the Midrashim. So here's some interesting explanations and things to say about the importance of Chama, the importance of Levana as opposed to Chama, the importance of why the Jewish people have a calendar based on the lunar cycle as opposed to the solar. He says as follows, Lomar, ma Chama einu ela bayom, kach ein moshlim ela ba'olam hazeh. He's building a case. He says, we know you can only see the sun during the day. And therefore, it has some sort of relation to Olam Hazeh, right? It's obvious. The day is something which is clear, it's light, it's bright, everyone could see it. Olam Hazeh, this world is also, it's obvious, it's clear, it's here, everyone could see it. Ma hachama hi shel esh, Kachem atidin lidon ba. Also, he says, just like the sun is made of fire, or is fire, the umot ha'olam, and often in the midrash, the umot ha'olam, the nations of the world, are viewed in the negative light because of all the tsaros, the problems that they've caused to the Jewish people. They will be judged with fire. And he quotes a pasuk to make his point. Ki hine hayom ba bo'er kitanur. The day is coming, burning like an oven. The day is the day of judgment for the umot ha'olam. Ukeshem shalavana nirit bayom uvalaila. However, he says, but the levana, the moon, you can see it during the day and during the night. Kach Yisrael moshlim bolam hazeh ubolam haba. The Jewish people have abilities and strengths both in this world, and we have a stake, if you will, a share in the world to come, which is olam haba. Because it has both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's the day. It can be seen during the day and the night as well. The night is often referred to as something that's dark, obvious. It's not clear. And Olam Haba also, it's not obvious to us. We can't see it. But nonetheless, we know that it's there. And he goes on. Ukeshem shalavana hi shel or, kach Yisrael nochalin haor. He says, the levana, And this could have been what Zach was referring to also. The moon is light, meaning it reflects a light. It has no light source of its own. It reflects a light. So also the Jewish people inherit the light. Shenemar or zaru al tzadik uli yishrei lev simcha. Right, that or the light is sown, is prepared for the righteous. Right, meaning in this case we are the righteous ones. And the umot ha'olam are not the righteous ones. V'omer kumi ori kiva orech. U'lachein nemar ha'chodesh zelachem. Now he gets to the point. That's why the pasuk says ha'chodesh zelachem. This month is for you. Shelachem sha'atem bedugmata. Meaning, according to the midrash, what the Torah is saying is that you, the Jewish people, are going to be built or are built in the model of the moon. Right, and not the model of the sun. The sun has all the shortcomings. It's also punishing. Right, the levana doesn't have those shortcomings. It's not punishing. It's light, but it's not hot. Right, it could be seen during the day and during the night. So you, the Jewish people, I am building you, I think is what the Midrash is saying, that God is saying. I am building you and modeling you after the sun, after the moon, which has all of these more positive, if you will, characteristics than the sun. Okay, so that's one sort of approach to Achodesh Zelachem. Achodesh doesn't necessarily mean month; it refers to the whole cycle of the month, which is of course represented by the ebb and flow of the moon.
What about the goyim according to the sun? How does that imply?
They're going to be punished by the heat of the sun. They only have shlita b'olam hazeh. And we have shlita b'olam haba and b'olam hazeh and b'olam haba. It's putting the Jewish people on a much higher pedestal in terms of power and ability and the staying power, if you will, than the umot ha'olam.
Yeah, but how would they calculate it?
What do you mean?
The month of the goyim. How does it reflect in this?
No, he's not saying that we count the months differently. He's saying we are compared to the moon, and the umot ha'olam are compared to the sun. The way that the Jewish people are going to be constructed, and the way we will exist throughout history is a moon-like existence with shlita b'olam hazeh and olam haba, and we won't be punished by the heat of the sun. We'll always be visible, even though. Right, our size is not great, just like the moon is visible during the day and during the night. We're always going to be there, which I was thinking about that. It's very interesting, right? There's, despite the fact that we're a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population, right, we seem to have our fingers in a lot of pies, right? Sometimes not such good pies. Sometimes the pies aren't kosher, but we have an outsized influence, if you will, certainly over in terms of our size. Yes, Zach.
I just would like to also introduce why it could be very important, because Egyptian culture one time was so called quasi monotheistic, where they choose Sun as the main god, which in the 19th dynasty of Egypt. And the name of the Sun was Aton, or sometimes they called Ra.
Right.
And we also, through the whole history of Shemot, we can see that our people always try to do something different from what Egyptians were doing.
Right. So the rejection of the sun god of the Egyptians. Excellent. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Okay. Next explanation comes from Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, 1816 to 1893, first in Belarus and then Poland. And he is trying to understand not so much the Lachem, Rishon Hu, or Rosh. Right, what is this Rosh Chodesh, Rishon Hu, the first of the month, first for you? What does that mean? What's the symbolism and meaning of that? And he has a very, very nice explanation. On top of page 2, source number 3. Rosh Mashma'o Kama Pamim Muvchar. Often the word Rosh means choice, choicest, or best. Okay? So this is interesting. If that's true, he's saying that this Chodesh, Nisan, is the best of the months. So he has to explain what's so good about it.
Spring.
Okay? That is good. Rosh Mashmo Kampim Muvchar, Kimo Me Rosh Piraot Oyev, Vichain Harbe. Va Perush. Lachem dafcha hachodesh hazem muvchar bashana. For you, like hachodesh lachem rosh chadashim. For you, the Jewish people, this is the best month. Lachem dafcha hachodesh hazem muvchar bashana. Kimo shechodesh tishrei. First, he talks to us about chodesh tishrei. He said, kimo shechodesh tishrei hu hamuvchar b'ma shenogei letzarchei haolam. Chodesh Tishrei is the choice or the best month when it comes to the needs of the world, right? We said Chodesh Tishrei, we learned the Mishnah before, is the first of how we count the years. Not the years of the king, but the calendar years. Mishum Shebo Nivra Olam. That is what he's saying is Tishrei is the month where the next year's successes and failures are created, are decreed, because that's the year, that's the month in which the world was created. Uklal gadolhu sheboto yom shenivra oto davar misugal ze hayom gam ledorot lehitchazek yoter. This is really interesting. He says it's a klal gadol. I don't know where he gets this from. He says it's an important principle that the day that something is created, it is misugal. There's a certain good fortune. Misugal ze hayom, on that day, gam ledorot lehitchazek yoter, even for further generations, to strike, to become more strong on that day. This may be the source. There are some chassidim, I think Chabad makes a big deal of birthdays.
No.
Right? Most Jews don't make a big deal of birthdays. Who's the only person whose birthday is recorded in the Torah? Paro. Not such a good guy. So we don't make a big deal out of birthdays. Right? But, meaning, not the day he was born, but the celebration of his birthday many years later. The only one is Paro. Right? It does, Paro. Just Paro.
It doesn't say Yom Hulet.
It does. It says exactly that. We'll, in last week's Parsha, or Shemot, I'll show it to you afterwards. Yeah? It's when he reinstates, right? As he puts the baker and the winemaker in jail, the day he hangs one and reinstates the other one, that's why he did it. It was his birthday. On the birthday, people get out of jail, some people get killed, and some people get reinstated. Right? So he's not such a savory character, Paro, so we don't celebrate birthdays. But based on this, there are some who do. Why? because since it's the day you were born, according to this Klal Gadol, it's Misugal Ze Hayom Gam L'Dorot L'Chazek Yoter. If you engage, I don't know, in more mitzvot and more wonderful things on your birthday, it has perhaps the ability to affect the rest of your life. Gam L'Dorot, for generations. So on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day the world was created, is the day we have to focus our tefillot, which is exactly what we do. We happen to be here for many, many hours, if you haven't noticed, right? We focus our tefillot on what's going to be with us the next day. What's going to be our parnasa? What's going to be our religious life, our spiritual life? That's what we do on, and we ask for forgiveness for things, right? So that's Rosh Hashanah. Umishum hachi b'chodesh tishrei ikar dino shel adam al kol hashana mishum shebo b'yom nidon adam harishon. That's why on Rosh Hashanah, the main thing that's judged, ikar dino shel adam, is the major judgment of a person's life is on Rosh Hashanah, because that is when the first person was created. Uvoto chodesh chag hasukot shebo ikar bracha letvua. And the same month in Tishrei, when we have Sukkos, is the time to focus on tivua, on the crops. Mishum shebo tochodesh nivra olam. Again, because that's when the world was created, and this is all related to things that grow from the world. Kozeb inyane hateva. That has to do with natural things. So he says the Rosh Chodesh of nature, and the Rosh Chodesh of how the world is going to be, and in this case, Rosh Chodesh means the day or the month where we are focused on davening and thinking about those things. That's Tishrei. What about Nisan? The Kach b'chodesh Nisan notzer b'rishonah sigulat am Hashem b'tziat Mitzrayim. But Nisan is a different beginning. It's not the beginning of the world. It's the beginning of the Jewish people. Right? Up until we left Mitzrayim, we were sort of
Avadim.
We were Avadim, and we were stuck in someone else's nation. Right? We were not our own independent nation. We were like inside of some sort of bubble, right? We weren't fully independent, fully free. As soon as we left Mitzrayim, that's when the Jewish people were born, right? So therefore, Alkeno Toa Chodesh Misugal Litchazek Ba'avodat Hashem Ade Sipur Yitzit Mitzrayim Shegoreim Emunah U'Bitachon. And so the month of Nisan is the month that is the choicest, the most opportune month for us to focus on our service of Hashem, because that is the month that we left Mitzrayim. That is the month that we became God's people. And so that's the month where we would focus on being loyal servants to God. And he says, through Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the way to do this is through the telling of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which develops our faith muscles, right? Because we tell the entire story of all the makot and all the plagues and all the miracles that God did to bring us out of Mitzrayim, and that gives us faith, and through faith we come to serve God, we come to serve God better. So this is actually very nice. The Chodesh Nisan, normally we think it's right, it's Elul and Tishrei, because that's right before Rosh Hashanah, that those are the real main spiritual months. But the Netziv is telling us maybe there's something else, right? The month of Nisan has that special quality because that's when the Jewish people were born. If you want to put it in extreme, an extreme way, the month of Tishrei is about Gashmiut, right? The month of Tishrei is about making sure that the next year is going to have all of the creature comforts that we need, because that's how the world was created. It's Nisan, which is about Ruchniut, right? It's Nisan, which is about spirituality and spiritual things. I think a nice, sort of a more conceptual message here is that we have to take care, we have to take advantage of opportunities when they come, right? It may be that Nisan is the month when we're supposed to focus on Avodat Hashem because it's the month which is most appropriate, and somehow it's easier that way. But we all, from time to time, feel like we're in a groove, like a good spiritual groove, or we're right, we have more energy, whatever the case may be. So we should take advantage of it and not let it slip, and not let it slip away, because that may be a sign that it's a zman misugal. It's a time that is sort of an opportune time for us to to do that. Just one other note, the Netziv makes the very same point when he comments on Pasuk, also in chapter 12, which is source number 4, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, Lotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim, Hu HaLaila HaZeh LaHashem, Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'Dorotah. That was for the Lord a night of vigil to bring them out of the land of Egypt, etc. So the Netziv in source number 5 says, Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'Dorotah, Az hi sha'a hamukhsheret liyot nig'al mikol tsarot basher hi az geula rishona. He adds something. Nisan is not only an opportunity for spiritual growth. He says that is a time that's also prime for Jewish people, or for the Jewish people, to be redeemed from any type of tsar, right? Or redemption in general. Right, musheret liot nigal mikol tsarot, to be redeemed from all types of stress and problems. Basher hi az geula rishona, because that was the time of the first redemption from tsarot. And so again, he's noting this point that the Jewish calendar is not a line; it's more like a spiral, and you keep coming back to the same themes. So on Tishrei, you come back to the same theme of every Tishrei: creation and the sustenance of the world. Nisan, you come back to the same theme all the time. Geula and Avodat Hashem, right? Redemption and service of God, right? The same themes of Judaism keep repeating themselves every year of those times. Al kein hu sha'at kosher le'olam, ki zeh hayom asa Hashem liyot goreim lazeh. This would be interesting to do a little bit of a test. Someone who's an expert in history should check to see if periods of redemption or national freedom or things like that happened in the world in the month of Nisan, not just for the Jews, but for everyone else, because he says, Shat HaKosher LaOlam. This is an established and set and appropriate time for redemption to come to the world. So that answers our question as well. Why HaChodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodeshim? Why is this for you? Because the truth of the matter is that when it comes to Tishrei, that's for the whole world. The whole world was created on Tishrei. That's not just for you. It's universal Rosh Hashanah for everyone. But Nisan is Lachem. HaChodesh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Nisan is the day only for you. It's when you, the Jewish people, were redeemed from Egypt and that you became the God's nation. So that's why it's Lachem. It's the best month for you. Tishrei is also wonderful, but that's universal in terms of the month that's specifically set aside for our service and for the potential redemption. Lachem. For the Jewish people, that is the month of Nisan.
It's also the beginning of the journey to Kabbalat HaTorah.
Correct. That's right.
So,
hold on one second, Zach.
Just, I would like to make a comment.
Sure.
The point is that we have too many redemptions that happened in the history of the world in springtime, right? Actually, springtime, based on a most agricultural activity, it's not a good time for revolution. But I would like to, this why I think.
Why?
Because farmers, the masses, the most involved in changing political power,
right.
They're busy.
The farmers are busy, right, okay.
This is why we over here very much unique. It's number one.
Okay.
Number two, what I would like to mention. I think recent history showed us that revolutionary movement actually one of the quests is change calendar. Look, French Revolution in 1789. Look, Russian Revolution in 1917. And the more you can see that people want to want to change it.
Right.
And over here, another very important component. I can see in this discussion, we were subjugated by Egyptian political power. I would like to use modern language. For us, political power changed, and we no more recognize a pharaoh and
right.
An Egyptian power as somebody who we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we choose another king. Who is our new king?
God.
God. And if you go to Shmuel Hanavi, book, chapter 8, by the way, is my favorite one.
Okay.
It's over there, Shmuel, and this
right.
is yeah. over here. He says, you don't need a king.
Right, right.
You have already a king.
Right.
And I think that a concept by itself over here, absolutely revolutionary. If you want to understand how Messiah uplifted, this is the best right. source to see it.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, Chana, you had a comment?
No, just I wanted to go back to my question about Tumoto Masa.
Hold on, let's wrap up then. Okay, so there you have it. Two approaches to Achodesh Zelachem. One is the uniqueness, and two nice messages. One is the uniqueness of the Jewish people in terms of, this is supposed to remind us of how our actions and our religious life are supposed to be different than the Umot HaOlam, and that God... is telling us here that we are being built in a different way based on our shlita, right, in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, our ability to operate in this world and the next world, and that we will not be punished by the heat of the sun, and that we're visible during the day and during the night. And I said, despite our small numbers, we have an outsized influence. So this is what is for you, meaning this is what you have coming, in terms of how to understand the rest of Jewish history. And the second point, it's the best month for you, as opposed to Tishrei, which is for everybody. Nisan is the best month for you, because it's the month that you were created as a nation, and therefore it is the best month, and the most choice month, and the most available month for improvement in terms of our service of God, mostly through the story of the Exodus, which teaches us Emunah, but perhaps not limited to that.
Do you think that's when Mordechai changed his name to Nisan? Mordechai Malka, they changed their name when they made Aliyah.
Okay. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
They changed their name to Nisan.